From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 happy Monday, ladies and gents. Man, the weekend has flown by, and yes, Current Sports is back on your radio. Happy February 23rd. We've got a hot show in store for you to start the week, folks. On today's show, we break down the MSU men's basketball game over Illinois last night. Is it safe to say that the Spartans are now off the bubble? We'll talk about that. Also, hear from the MSU women's basketball game as we talk to Coach Susie Merchant and her players on Senior Day at the Breslin yesterday. Yes, I was in the house, and man, oh man, was it a great moment as five seniors said goodbye to the Brez. Great moment. We'll talk about that as well. Also, we'll also discuss the Mayweather and Pacquiao fight coming in May. Yes, it has been confirmed, folks. It has been confirmed. I won't believe it till I see it, though, but it is confirmed that Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Manny Pacquiao will fight in May. We'll talk about that as well as dive into weekend winners and also take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. But let's start the show like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Monday, February 23rd. All right, let's start on the hardwood, folks. The MSU men's basketball team has gotten back on track, cruising to a 60-53 win over Illinois last night. The Spartans' fourth straight victory since a loss to Illinois earlier in the month. Now, the women's team also enjoyed some success last night with their first ranked win of the season, a 60-50 victory over number 19 Rutgers. At 13 and 14, if the team can win its last two games, it will be NIT eligible, as you need, of course, to be at least over 500 to qualify for the tourney. All right, snapping a five-game losing streak, the U of M men's basketball team defeated Ohio State 64-57 yesterday. The Wolverines have been struggling after losing several key pieces from last year's team, not to mention injury problems this year, losing Caris LeVert and Derek Walton Jr. Spike Albrick, man, was he good yesterday, folks. He rose to the occasion for the rivalry game, dropping 16 points and dishing out 5 assists. Woo, he was good. All right, the Buckeyes freshman phenom D'Angelo Russell, and he led Ohio State in scoring 16 despite the loss. Well, I am very, very excited about tonight as I will be at NCG Cinema in Lansing to witness the premiere of MSU basketball player Keenan Wetzel's film, The Cager. How about that? Now, the film follows former MSU basketball player Delvon Rowe as Wes, that's the name of his character, a college basketball player who finds himself at a crossroads after suffering an injury in his final game. I'll be down at NCG around 6 p.m. to interview Delvon and Keenan to talk about that movie. Looking forward to checking that one out. All right, the Detroit Pistons, folks. Yeah, they were in action yesterday as well. Reggie Jackson, he had 17 points and 5 assists in his debut for Detroit as they beat the Wizards 106-89 last night. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, man, has he been good. He added 26 points on 6 of 13 shooting from 3 as the Pistons race past the Wizards 59-37 in the second half to secure the win. The Pistons remain a half game out of the 8th spot behind the Brooklyn Nets in their Eastern Conference playoff picture, and it's looking pretty bright for the Pistons right now. All right, according to ProBasketballTalk.com, Kobe Bryant requested a trade in 2007, saying, quote, "At this point, I'll go and play on Pluto," after being asked about preferable destinations. However, after the Lakers agreed to trade Kobe to the Pistons, yes, the Pistons, folks, can you imagine that? He said that he uses no trade clause to veto the deal, saying that was not one of the teams on the list of his preferred destinations and that the Chicago Bulls was his number one choice. Wow. Man, all right, ultimately, Kobe stayed in L.A. and ended up winning, of course, a couple more rings. But that would have been unbelievable if he would have came to Detroit or Chicago, for that matter. Of course, the house that Jordan built. All right, the Detroit Red Wings hope to avoid a 4th straight loss to the Ducks when they travel to Anaheim tonight. Henrik Zetterberg is a game-time decision as he suffered an upper body injury in the Wings' overtime victory against Dallas on Saturday. Now, the Wings' goaltender Jimmy Howard continues to come into form after the injury and is 1-1-1. In 4 starts since his return. All right, how about this young kid, huh? He's my age, 24 years old, and he passed Jimmy Johnson with 9 laps to go to earn his 9th career win in his 220th start. Joey Logano, congratulations, my man. He took the Daytona 500 over the weekend. Jeff Gordon led a race high 87 laps. 87! But got into a crash in the last lap, giving him an unofficial finish in 33rd place. I really thought Jeff was going to win that race. All right, and after more than 5 years of speculation, the super fight between Floyd Money Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao is finally happening. May 2nd is the date that the showdown will happen at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. The fight will be the richest in boxing history, with Mayweather taking 60% of the revenue that could generate, get this, $400 million. Translation, that's a lot of moolah. All right, well, that's our current sports quick headliner. Without further ado, let's start the show. All right, folks, our phone lines are also open. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that we'll discuss on today's show, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, and I will read your tweets and or comments right here live on Current Sports. Man, I cannot believe that it's already Monday. The weekend certainly flew by. It was a relaxing one, to say the least, for me. Man, I really didn't do anything this weekend. Well, other than cover the MSU women's basketball game yesterday on Saturday in preparation for the Oscars, which was also on your tube last night. I'm a big movie junkie. I'm a big TV show junkie. So I was pretty much glued to my TV, flipping between, of course, the Oscars and the MSU men's basketball game last night. Also, there were a lot of just random cool features on last night. Trailblazers was on ESPN, show recounting for Black History Month some of the, you know, historical athletes in today's game, like Monet Davis and so on and so forth. Even Cardale Jones, Ohio State quarterback, was profiled. I watched that. Also, Snoop Dogg's son, who has, again, decided to take his football talents to UCLA. They had a pretty cool feature on ESPN kind of profiling Snoop Dogg and his son's road to play college football. It was pretty cool stuff. So it was a lot of TV, good TV, on last night. But, of course, I was glued into the MSU men's basketball game and the Oscars. So on Saturday, I just kind of spent my day sort of just kind of picking and choosing movies to watch that may be Oscar-worthy. Got a chance to check out Grand Budapest Hotel, which came up big at the Oscars. They won makeup and hairstyling, also production design, and also for original score. Unbelievable movie. If you haven't seen Grand Budapest Hotel, it is on HBO, HBO Go. So I watched that. Also, Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise. Relaxing weekend on Saturday for me. And then Sunday, of course, I was down at the Breslin Center for the last MSU women's home game. Fun game to watch because, I mean, you talk about see Vivian Stringer, who is a legend. It was my first time seeing Vivian in person. She's a legend when it comes to women's college basketball. To see her, just she is really, man, she's intense. Man, have you ever seen see Vivian Stringer coach? I mean, my gosh, it's like kind of like watching Tom Izzo on the sidelines. She is very intense, and you kind of see why she has become such a staple in that sport. But, of course, Rutgers, she's the head coach of Rutgers, so she took on Susie Merchant at the Breslin Center. Again, the last home game for the Spartans, and what a way to finish the season, getting a win over ranked Rutgers. And we'll be diving into that, and you also get to hear Susie as she talked on Senior Day about certain seniors, and particularly one senior who has had quite the road to now an end of her MSU career. So we'll talk about all that and so much more. Folks, again, the number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before I dive into our first topic, I want to, of course, invite the man behind the glass, Alex Sharg. Sharg, how you doing, my man? How was your weekend, brother?
Weekend was good, man. Did a little relaxing, was down in Detroit for a little bit. Watched the Oscars last night.
Nice.
I did check out the Budapest. They came away with a lot of good rewards.
Have you
awards.
Seen that movie?
I haven't.
Oh, it's off the chain,
the,
dude.
The photography, the artistic design of it is really well done.
Very well done. The storyline, too, the writing. Before I watched it, I didn't know what the thing was going to be about. And then I started to dive into it. Fantastic movie. Well, that's good you had a good weekend, man. We got a lot to talk about on today's show. I want to start with the MSU men's basketball team, folks. Of course, I think you take this team off the bubble right now. Now, mathematically, they are not off the bubble. If you do the math right now, Michigan State still has a little bit more of convincing to do to really be fully off the bubble. Right now, in my opinion, I think this team is really starting to hit its stride. The best stretch that this team has had all year, and fittingly so. I mean, how ironic is it that a Tom Izzo team, I mean, this is no surprise anymore, that a Tom Izzo coach team starts to clickety-clack right before March. I mean, this is the last week in February, folks, and then March Madness will be taking place very, very soon. And this is the time of year where Tom Izzo teams blossom. I mean, February, Tom Izzo is in love with the month of February, folks. And this team is starting to hit a stride right now, but they get a big win on the road. They get to enact a bit of revenge over Illinois, 60-53, the final of that game. It was a very entertaining game, though. I'll tell you what, Illinois, I mean, they in that first half, they had like a 12-2 run. Then Michigan State, they jab back and go on a run of theirself. And then, you know, y'all see this back-and-forth play between these two. It was very chippy, a very chippy game. Brandon Dawson getting into it with a few players. You know, Nana Egwu, he was also, you know, getting into it. A lot of words exchanged. I loved it. I loved it, man. It was great basketball to watch, to say the least, folks. Right. But Michigan State now, nonetheless, Alex, I tell you what, I'm taking the team off the bubble for my own personal reasons. I mean, I think this is a great stretch for them. Again, four straight wins dating back to February 10th with that win over Northwestern. They've now beaten Ohio State, Michigan, and now Illinois. What were your thoughts on the game?
Overall thoughts is this is a team that's very similar to Michigan State, and that's good because if it came down to the bubble and it was Michigan State or Illinois, and Illinois beat Michigan State in both chances, I might give it to Illinois because look at the makeup of these teams. Very similar, both with a lot of different starting lineup changes throughout the year. Michigan State and Illinois both really good shooting teams and also leading the league in several categories like rebounding, like Michigan State, and a lot of it on the defensive side of the ball. So I think very similar teams, both kind of struggling to find their main scorer. You know, Michigan State, you kind of don't know who you're going to get leading the Spartan charge when it comes to scoring. And same with Illinois. You've got Egwu. You have so many weapons on that team. So overall, I think it's a fantastic win. I think it locks up them to get in the tournament. And hey, isn't it funny, Al, that out of the 5-6 remaining games, Indiana, Purdue, Illinois, I think Michigan was probably the easiest win of all of them. If you look at the schedule and you say, which of these teams is the least scary to play, I think Michigan was.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's funny.
And you know what? I want to get to Michigan later on in the show because I think that John Beilein has done one phenomenal job all year. Michigan is certainly a team that's probably not going to make the tournament. Let's be real here. But, I mean, watching that Ohio State game, and I was kind of keeping up because I was actually covering the MSU women's game while trying to keep up with the Michigan game. And, man, what a great effort from that team to knock off an Ohio State team that is pretty good this year, folks. But going back to some of the points you made, Alex, I really think that, you know, first off, as far as a great coaching move, that when you look back, no matter what takes place the rest of this year, just looking at this stretch right now for this basketball team, one of the things you're going to look at is the great coaching decision for Tom Izzo to start Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Naren Jr. over Travis Trice. Because when doing that, I mean, Tum Tum can come in and give you solid minutes. He's a very speedy guard. He's a great facilitator. His confidence is starting to grow as far as taking his own shots. But with all of that being said, Travis Trice doesn't have to worry about the point guard position too much because Tum Tum is really holding it down, to be honest with you. Travis Trice can just relax, play his game, shoot, and penetrate. And I tell you what, Travis Trice coming off the bench, he had 18 points. Something that I haven't seen. You know, yesterday's game was a win, Alex, and a style of play that I haven't seen Michigan State play all year. We all know that at the beginning of the year, they relied heavily on that three-point shot. And that's something that's really trickled down throughout most of the season. But yesterday's game, you start to see Michigan State scoring in different ways that I haven't seen Michigan State score from. First off, I want to give hats off to their penetration ability. Travis Trice, how many times do we see Travis Trice penetrate? And that's something I've been harping on Travis Trice all year. Travis Trice is just a shooter. He just shoots the jump shot. His game is not putting the ball on the floor and getting to the basket. Well, all of that went out the window against Illinois. There was one particular play in the second half with about 10 minutes left. Travis Trice had the ball, shot clock running down. It's on the left side of the basket, right above the arc. And Travis Trice gets double team. He splits the double team. One Illinois player, I believe it was Nana Egwu, thinks he's going to take a charge. Travis Trice realizes it, goes around him, and throws up a left-handed layup. Really beautiful lay-in off the glass. beautiful. I mean, Travis Trice was unbelievable. He was unbelievable that game. He scored 18 points. He was 4 of 13 from the floor after starting. If you remember, Travis Trice did not have a great start to that game. He sort of played himself into that game, folks. But he was 4 of 13 from the floor, 10 of 12 from the free throw line. And Michigan State, you know, we've been harping on free throws all year. Michigan State had its best free throw shooting outing all season, folks. They actually shot, I believe, like 84-85% from the free throw line. How about that? I always say now, going back to this point I've been making throughout the year, the engine that drives this team is Brandon Dawson. Point blank, period. When Brandon Dawson goes and when Brandon Dawson has a solid game, Michigan State has a solid game, folks. Brandon Dawson had 13 points, three blocks, monster blocks, send it to the fifth row type of blocks. I mean, he was unbelievable that game. 13 points, three blocks, and seven rebounds for him. And, you know, something else that I mentioned last game, Brandon Dawson is starting to, dare I say it, create his own offense. I mean, there was multiple times where Brandon Dawson had the ball and, you know, either posted up and turned around for a fadeaway jumper that was money or had the ball and, you know, backed down two times and threw up a left-handed hook that went in or a right-handed hook that went in. I mean, Brandon Dawson is starting to reveal that there is some left in the tank from the Brandon Dawson that we saw on the heels of last year in the Big Ten tournament and in the NCAA tournament. Because Brandon Dawson, he was fantastic yesterday and has been for really throughout this entire stretch of wins. Denzel Valentine, you talk about that one consistent score. I think that Denzel Valentine is starting to emerge as that guy. He went 6 of 12, which is 50% from the field, for 20 points. He was perfect from the free throw line, 6 of 6. Big free throws down the stretch for Valentine and Trice to sort of seal that game and cement it. But Denzel Valentine, for me, if there is that go-to guy, if you want to call somebody that, a player that you can go to and sort of create things, I think Denzel Valentine can be that player. And also, you know, you talk about starts. Denzel Valentine and Travis Trice did not have great starts to that game yesterday, Alex. I think they sort of played themselves into great games. I think they did that yesterday. Defensively, got to shout out this team because I also think that this was Michigan State's best defensive performance all year. It's this game, yesterday's game, and that Indiana game, excuse me, that happened like midseason. Those two performances were the best defensive games that I've seen Michigan State play all year. Holding Illinois, a team that has been on a tear leading up to that Michigan State game, hell, holding that offense to only 53 points? Only 53 points? I mean, that is remarkable. A remarkable job by Michigan State, especially in the crunch time moments of that game, to buckle down, to force turnovers, and to contest shots. It was a great effort. So now when you look at the schedule now, Alex, you got Minnesota, Wisconsin, Purdue, and Indiana. Then we start talking about tourney time. Then the Big Ten tournament happens. Then, of course, the NCAA tournament. Now, Purdue and Maryland are right now tied with Michigan State for second place in the Big Ten Conference. And Wisconsin, of course, leads the Big Ten. Their next game at home this Thursday against Minnesota is a bottom barrel team in the conference. So, when looking at the future implications for how this year could end up, I think they get the win over Minnesota. And then, you know, that could spark, and that momentum can also bode well as the season dwindles down now. Great stretch for the MSU men's basketball team. Very impressive win. And again, when you look at the history of a Tom Izzo team, are you really surprised? What do you think, folks? Are you taking them completely off the bubble, or should you be worried as the season dwindles down? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Well, folks, also, the MSU women's basketball team, they enjoyed a bit of success yesterday afternoon, I should say, with their first ranked win of the year, a 60-50 win over number 19 Rutgers. Impressive win nonetheless, folks, because we all know the story that we've been reiterating game after game after game, the constant injuries, you know, players being out, Jasmine Lumpkin leaving in the middle of the year. I mean, there's been a lot of drama with this team. But I tell you what, one thing you can guarantee, though, is that this team has brought it and played their butts off game in and game out. They're not going to lay down just because they have seven healthy bodies, including one player who's not even an MSU women's basketball player. She's from the MSU women's volleyball team. Even with all that being said, a Susie Merchant team does not give up. And that's something that really stood out for me yesterday. Again, going against number 19 Rutgers, a team that's one of the best in the Big Ten Conference. Man, that was their best win all year. Their best win all year. And something remarkable about it. It's always a joy to watch this team because I truly think that Ariel Powers and Torrey Jankowska will go down. I think Ariel Powers is already cementing that legacy. They will go down as two of the best players to put on an MSU women's basketball uniform. Point blank, period. I mean, seeing the athleticism that both of them play with, seeing the savvy just scoring mentality that both of them play with, and both of them are extremely competitive. They are a joy to watch. Ariel Powers actually had two milestones yesterday, folks. She became the all-time single-season points leader with her performance yesterday over Rutgers, excuse me. And also, she became the all-time single-season double-double leader in MSU women's basketball history. So two milestones etched in stone for Ariel Powers with the win over Rutgers. Pretty impressive, and considering the fact that, you know, watching that game, Michigan State, as far as when Ariel Powers is concerned, Ariel Powers, she started that game off so rocky, folks. I mean, I think in like the first 5 minutes of the game, she already had two turnovers. Susie Merchant had taken her out the game just to get her back into the zone that she's normally accustomed to being in. Then she came back in the game with about, you know, like 11 minutes left in the first half. Comes in, has two more turnovers. Susie takes her out. I mean, it was a very rocky game. She you know, kind of what got her back on track, I should say, was that 3-point buzzer beating shot to end the first half, and then that momentum sort of trickled down into the second half. But I talked to Ariel after the game on starting bad and also becoming the single season points leader and etching both of those milestones in her very, very young legacy.
Well, I was. You probably could see it because I'm really bad at hiding things on my face. I kind of just show my emotions all over my face. I was frustrated with myself and my turnovers, but I knew at least I could get some rebounds, so that's what I focused on until, you know, I start getting into the groove. But I still, I don't know, throughout the whole game, I still just had, you know, some really bad turnovers, but I just focused on what I'm good at and something no one can stop you at, you know, rebounding. That's all just hard work and just going after it. So that's what I focused on.
Single season points leader, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, thank you. I didn't even think about it during the game. I was just, you know, thinking about our win, but I am happy.
Yeah, Ariel Powers, I mean, man, you know, something that I noticed with great players will play themselves into a great game. It's sort of that mentality, you know. I'm a big basketball junkie. I'm a big NBA guy. Even when great players are playing bad, you know, I've seen Kobe Bryant have many games where he started off a game just horrid. Terrible shooting percentage. But Kobe and, you know, great players have that sort of competitive mentality that even though they may be starting off the game bad, they are going to find a way to get the job done. That's the type of player that Ariel Powers is. She has such a short memory. And again, she's only a sophomore, folks. She is only a sophomore. To see how high that ceiling is going to keep getting raised as her years here at Michigan State progress is going to be truly amazing to watch. So again, Ariel Powers, again, she became the single season points leader in MSU women's basketball history and also the single season double-double leader. How impressive is that, folks? How impressive. Folks, we have a caller actually on line one. Dr. Smoove is on line one. How you doing, Dr. Smoove? Do we have him? Dr. Smoove, how you doing? Hello? I don't hear anything, Alex. Do we have Dr. Smoove? Just nod your head yes or no. No, we don't. We don't. Dr. Smoove, call back. Dr. Smoove, what kind of... I tell you, we get some crazy names on this show. 517-355-9527. I want to go to a bite here, though, in a moment for the MSU women's basketball team that really kind of pulled on everybody's heartstrings who were at the Breslin Center yesterday. Of course, during Senior Day, it's pretty cool because, again, this is the last time that the seniors for the Spartans will take the basketball court. And, of course, the seniors for this team this year are Becca Mills, Anna Morrissey, Kendra Lumpkin, Kelsey Kuypers, and Madison Williams. Now, for those of you that know Madison Williams, know that, man, she has endured a rocky and tumultuous tenure here at Michigan State. Not one, not two, but three ACL tears here at Michigan State. She came out of high school as a McDonald's All-American, nationally ranked, nationally touted. It was one of Susie Merchant's biggest grabs throughout her tenure here at Michigan State. And Madison Williams came here, and again, she was so injury-plagued that she really didn't even get to play a full season here, folks. So this was her last game at the Breslin Center. And, you know, it was a moment where Susie didn't know what she was going to say, because what happens is they come out with their families. They're announced. They play this great tribute video. There's a plaque with their jersey encased into it. And you take pictures, and Susie goes down the line and gives a brief moment of words for each and every player. So Susie Merchant, of course, when she got to Madison Williams, she did not know quite what to say. And it was a moment where she immediately started to cry. Madison Williams started to shed tears. Her parents were also there. They got a bit choked up. And I kind of turned from my camera and looked into the crowd, and there were many, many people with watery eyes. So now the audio is not great on this, but I want to play it because it is such a touching, touching moment. Again, this is Susie Merchant, and you got to try to listen carefully here. We'll fade out when the applause happens. This is Susie Merchant addressing Madison Williams right before Madison runs over and gives Susie a big hug. Here's Susie on Maddie.
I just have never seen anybody endure the shot after shot after shot, the disappointment, the disappointment that you've had to endure, and to do it with such, you know, pride and love of Michigan State, and never waver, never thought of should I or should I. It was all in, all the time. We say it every day after practice, all in, all the time. And I've never seen anybody give up their body like you have. I've never seen anybody give up like their heart and their soul as much to a university, to a program. And you always say things like, I'm sorry it didn't work out. And I was like, you cannot win at this program to Michigan State for this program.
Yeah, again, kind of hard to hear because, again, that audio was taken right off of the PA system when Susie Merchant was talking about and giving her speech on Madison Williams. But, again, she basically said, hey, you know, Madison would kind of come to Susie at times throughout her time at Michigan State and say, I'm so sorry this didn't work out. Again, all the ACL injuries, just an injury plague time here at Michigan State. But Susie would say, no, that's fine. I mean, you are the representation of what a Spartan is here at Michigan State. It was a great, great moment. I also got a chance to chat with Susie at the podium at the presser on senior day. What the seniors who are leaving, again, Becca Mills, Anna Morrissey, Kendra Lumpkin, Kelsey Kuypers, who is, of course, that player from the MSU women's volleyball team, who, due to a lack of bodies and injuries throughout this year for the team, was signed for the squad just to have an extra body, just to have an extra body there. She's a great, great young woman. And also, of course, Madison Williams, the seniors for the squad. Got a chance to chat with Susie on senior day, and also the unwavering fan support that has been at the Breslin Center throughout this entire season.
Susie, to go back to senior day just a minute ago here, I mean, just kind of talk about how it is for you to see the maturation of a player throughout 4 years. And also, can you briefly talk about kind of the crowd tonight and how they've really been, you know, coming out for you guys here at the Breslin Center all year? Impressive.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the crowd piece, let me talk a little bit about that first. I think any sports fan, especially women's basketball fan here at Michigan State, genuinely appreciates teams that battle and fight and compete and play for each other and have pride in the uniform they wear. And I don't think they were disappointed. They might have been disappointed in the outcome, but I don't think they were ever walked out of here really, you know, disappointed in a team that, you know, didn't really care or gave up or wasn't engaged in what was going on. I mean, if anything, I felt like they energized us so many times and were so appreciative of an Anna Morrissey 3, you know, compared to even a Tori Jankowska 3, because they're two very different things. And the fact that they knew, you know, Kelsey coming in and out and, you know, starting Madison and what that meant. I mean, they're just such educated fan base here at Michigan State in women's basketball. And they really propelled us. I mean, we never walked out of that tunnel with 200 people in the stands ever because they were disappointed in a record. I mean, if anything, I felt like we won quite a few people over this year with how hard they battled. And that's a credit to the kids and the fans for believing in us. Yeah, there's a lot of mixed emotions. It's an interesting class, you know. Kid you added 2 months, kid that played 2 years and never practiced or played in a game. You know, Anna Morrissey was a walk-on and played the last couple minutes to now she's in a different role. To Maddie, who's never played here basically in 5 years, and what a horrific story that is in terms of women's basketball and what it could have been for Michigan State and what it's been for her. And then, you know, Becca, who's been here, you know, missed one game in a four-year career and just an absolute warrior. So it was interesting. I was getting ready to – I never really prepare too much. I just kind of wing it. But and I like to do it that way because your emotions just sort of come out naturally, I think. But I just looked at that group and what a spectrum. You know, of kids, of, you know, five kids that really found a way to contribute, whatever minuscule it might be or significant it might be, and that every one of them really mattered.
Yes, to say the least, Susie, a great, great class. Again, such a mixed class with players who had a long MSU women's basketball career and some of those that didn't. And, you know, of course, you just heard from her discussing Becca Mills, who, again, you talk about having a long career. She certainly did have a long career. And Becca, throughout her entire career, you just heard from Susie, she only missed one game in 4 years. Just one game is what Becca Mills missed throughout her entire tenure here at State. So I got a chance to chat with Becca on what is the key to longevity. I mean, that's pretty cool, pretty impressive.
You know, actually, the game I missed was the first game ever against Michigan, so it was kind of a bummer to miss that one. I'm still sad about it. My freshman year, my very first Michigan game. But, you know, it's just pushing through it. You know, everyone gets beat up at this level. You never feel 100%, and just, you know, keeping your body right and pushing through it. And, you know, I've been lucky. I've been hurt, but clearly nothing season ending and things that I can play through. So I've been blessed this whole time with that. So I can't complain.
Oh, boy, I'm definitely going to miss this senior class. I mean, covering, you know, Becca Mills and, you know, even though Maddie didn't play a lot, Madison Williams, Anna Morrissey, what a class. And they certainly etched quite the history when they were here. So, again, the last home basketball game for the Michigan State women's basketball team. They get a big win over Rutgers. All right. Again, folks, we're taking your calls all the way up until 2 o'clock, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That is the number to dial. I believe we have Dr. Smoove back. Is that right, Alex? He's on line one. Dr. Smoove, how you doing?
I'm all right, Al. How are you today?
I am doing fantastic.
I have a couple things for you. One, I completely agree with about watching the women's basketball team, especially Tori Jankowska and Ariel Powers. I mean, some of the things they're able to do are just amazing, and
right,
they're so much fun to watch. The two things I had for you are, one, my weekend winner is Jeremy Langford.
Nice.
Because he led all running backs at the NFL Combine in his 40-yard dash time, and we know how big that is for NFL executives.
You know what? And I'm watching, because I watched the video of that, too. I mean, I didn't know Jeremy had jets like that. I mean, that's unbelievable, man. It was impressive.
He's got deceptive speed, and they said that he was usually one of the faster players on the team, and he was the fastest one in the running back group on Michigan State's team.
Yeah.
The other thing I had for you was a question.
Yeah.
I know you spent a lot of time around the MSU basketball team because you're on the court for games and you're there like afterwards and you're around them.
Right.
I was going to ask how the mood of the team has changed since they were down in the dumps when they lost to Illinois at home, as opposed to now. Are they having a bit more fun? So that's all I had for you today, Al. Thanks.
Dr. Smoove, he's a great caller. Thanks a lot, Doc. Well, I got to tell you, man, you know, I was there at the Breslin Center. Alex and I were there, actually. When Michigan State lost to Illinois, and we walked into that locker room, and it was like a funeral. It was like a funeral. I mean, we walked in. I mean, talked to Denzel Valentine, and his head was down, and you know, then we were waiting on Travis Trice for I don't know how long, and he took like an hour shower, and you know, just sitting there, and the mood was one of the things I definitely remember from the locker room presence after that game. Was I remember Tum Tum going, well, I believe it was Denzel Valentine. Denzel Valentine walked over to Lou Ross Tum Tum Nearing Jr. And they're talking, trying to just figure out what in the world went wrong in the closing moments of that game. And then when that happened, all of a sudden the door flies open for the locker room and Bryn Forbes walks in, drenched in sweat, you know, with his athletic apparel on and a basketball in his hand. And we're sitting like, whoa, Bryn, where'd you just come from? He's like, man, I just came from shooting free throws, man. And we're sitting there saying, oh, my goodness. I mean, it was a mood where this team, You know, you could sense it was a highly disappointed mood, but you could sense that they were going to try desperately to get themselves out of this funk and to work themselves out of it. You know, you saw them working on things from that moment on, saying, okay, we got some things to work on. Let's get to work right now, right after the game. You know, since that game, I mean, you know, Michigan State has been so upbeat. You know, in talking to Tom Izzo down at the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame, you know, he was very upbeat, not only for that moment, but also about his team, because, you know, they Michigan State never feels as though a season is out of reach. You know, even with all the losses, even with the talks of being on the bubble, Denzel Valentine talked about how he didn't want to be a part of the team that ended the streak of Michigan State making NCAA tourney runs. He wasn't going to be a part of that. And you start to see, if you remember that Northwestern game, Denzel Valentine came out and had an unbelievable game. He sort of has taken the team and shoulder on his back, if you will, dating back to that Illinois loss. And, you know, another quote that stands out to me is when Izzo took the podium right on the heels of that Northwestern game. And Izzo talked about, if there is one player who cares the most out of everybody when it comes to wins and losses, it's Denzel Valentine, because he's right here in Lansing, Michigan. He has a legacy in his father, who used to play under Judd Heathcote. And, you know, him being the sort of quote-unquote local hero, Denzel Valentine does not want to see this team have bad years and bad games. And I believe it started with Denzel from a leadership standpoint and trickled down to the rest of the team. As far as the overall demeanor, no doc, I think that this team is right now sailing on cloud nine. Their confidence is the highest it's been all season. And when you have a confident team that's playing well, it's a danger for anybody they play. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we'll talk about the Pistons. Yes, right, they get a win over the Washington Wizards yesterday afternoon. Also, they're 2-0 since the NBA All-Star break. We'll talk about our thoughts on that. Also, discuss the Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fight that is scheduled for May 2nd. Yes, it is finally going to happen, at least for now. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, how about those Detroit Pistons, huh? Reggie Jackson, of course, the star guard, formerly for the Oklahoma City Thunder, who was traded to Detroit last week, right before the NBA trade deadline last Wednesday. Reggie Jackson, it was his first game donning the red, white, and royal blue. He had 17 points and 5 assists in his debut for the Pistons as they beat the Wizards 106-89 last night. KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, man, has he been good, folks. He added 26 points on 6 of 13 shooting from the 3 as the Pistons raced past the Wizards, a 59-37 edge in the second half to etch that win. So right now, the Detroit Pistons, they actually remain a half game out of 8th place behind the Brooklyn Nets in their Eastern Conference. So they're inching very, very close to that playoff spot. Fun to watch. I tell you what, I didn't get to check out the entire game because, of course, that game took place against the Wizards at 3 o'clock, and I was also at the Breslin Center, but I was following it very intently on my iPhone. And again, the Pistons are now 2-0 since the All-Star break, playing very good ball. They actually got down early in that game, and were able to fight back. And Reggie Jackson, you talk about the play of Reggie Jackson, again, 17 points for him, 5 assists. Reggie Jackson started off that game very rocky, and I think there was a little bit of nervousness. I mean, anytime you play your first game with a new franchise, definitely, I'm sure there were a few things going on in the stomach of his. But impressive nonetheless for him, because he seemed to, you know, really, you know, despite that shaky first half, he seemed to settle in and really started to show what he could bring to the table for the Pistons. I think he's a very physical guard. He's not afraid of contact. He'll bump you. He'll post you up. I really like that about him. He has pretty good vision. Again, 5 assists for him. You know, we saw a few lobs here and there from him during yesterday's game. He also is a menace when it comes to, you know, that first step of his. He's so quick. He can get you to bite. When shot fakes, he's very savvy in that regard as well. He's a great penetrating guard, and this is the thing I may like about him the most. He's a great defender. And you saw throughout that game, of course, the star point guard for the Washington Wizards, John Wall. John Wall was a bit frustrated by Reggie Jackson as that game went on. So that's also very impressive. So, again, it's only the first game for Reggie Jackson. But, again, you're starting to see what he can do, what he can do for the Pistons as the season goes on. And I tell you what, man, KCP, I think KCP is emerging as a star in this league. I really do. And, you know, this was a move that Joe D., you know, former president of basketball operations for the Pistons. That was a move that Joe D got a lot of flack for. Remember in 2013 when the Pistons, of course, decided to say, oh, hey, Trey Burke, we could take Trey Burke here? No, we're going to go with KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And a lot of people were angry. You know, a lot of people wanted Trey Burke to wear a Pistons jersey because they felt as though he was a great guard. I mean, don't get me wrong. Trey Burke he's a fantastic guard. He's doing his thing out in Utah, and I think he's going to have a great NBA career. But I think we're starting to see KCP sort of turn the corner here, folks. You know, you talk about confidence. KCP is confident. He shows that he can shoot. He loves to play in transition. And again, looking at this run form, I mean, he's averaging right now 14 points in the last 10 games. He's shooting 43% from the field and 40% from behind the arc. KCP, man, watch out for him. I think he's emerging as a very, you know, a very formidable young star in this league. I believe he played in the Rising Stars competition over All-Star Weekend. But watch out for KCP. I really like the KCP and Reggie Jackson tandem that could bode well for the Pistons down the line. Also, got to bring up this. For me, you know, if you're going to win in the NBA. Now, of course, I've always said that the NBA doesn't play defense throughout most of the regular season. You don't really see the NBA start to really become really competitive until playoff time, folks, until around playoff time. Now, I didn't, you know, looking at the calendar here, folks, there's only 2 months, just 2 months until the NBA playoffs begin. Can you believe that? I mean, this year is already flying by. And, you know, you're starting to see teams starting to realize that and starting to say, okay, we got to start to rally. We have to start to rally wins here to put ourselves in the playoff picture. The Pistons certainly know that they haven't made the playoffs, you know, since the dinosaurs were walking the earth. So they definitely want to do that this year. And the moves that they made last week certainly allude to that very notion. So defensively, I think that you're starting to see the Pistons sort of pick it up here. Something that was very impressive to me is how in the first half, Marcin Gortat, it was an insane in the membrane, folks. He was 8 for 8 from the field. He had 16 points in the first half. And then you start to see something click when it came to Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe. They said, okay, let's start to lock down on the defensive end and really start to frustrate Marcin Gortat. And that's exactly what happened. You know, and I think Gortat is a great player. And again, I'm sitting there looking at the stats in that first half saying, what in the world? And I was saying to myself, same old song, because I honestly don't think that Monroe and Drummond are that great of defenders. They could be tremendously better. And you would think with their size and agility and athletic talent that they would be better defensively, but they haven't. And I think it's all mental with them. But on that same notion, in the second half, it was an entirely different tandem down low. They frustrated Gortat a lot, folks. Again, 8 for 8. 16 points in the first half. Then he goes on to only score 8 points, shooting 4 of 10 in the second half. If that ain't the definition of defense, I don't know what is. I need to holler at Webster, I guess, because that is, folks. Also want to shout out Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer actually got the start against the Bulls, I believe on Friday. Had a fantastic game. Of course, he started. Tayshaun Prince wasn't available. Reggie Jackson wasn't available. And they, of course, had given up DJ Augustine. So Spencer was kind of forced into that starting point guard role. And, you know, he was pretty impressive in that first game against the Bulls. And you talk about defense. I mean, he frustrated the mess out of Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose didn't even crack double digits in scoring in that game. But Spencer Dinwiddie had 7 assists for the Pistons yesterday. I think he has also a tremendous upside. So that's also going to be pretty impressive to watch as the season goes along, though. But the Pistons are in a great shape right now. Again, just a half game out of eighth. In that eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. So I think the Detroit can, you know, I don't think the Nets are that good. I think Detroit can snub that spot, folks. I think they certainly can. Again, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to weigh in on anything that we're talking about on today's show. And I tell you what, man, when I got this news, I was so ecstatic. I jumped for joy for about, you know, maybe 10 to 15 minutes. I probably, you know, awoken my neighbors who were right next door to me. I could not believe the news because, again, I would not believe it until it was officially reported and confirmed. But again, after more than 5 years, 5 years is how long we've been waiting on this moment, folks. The super fight between Floyd Money Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao is finally happening. Finally happening. May 2nd is the date that the showdown will take place out in MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Again, the fight is slated, you know, I'm looking at a few predictions left and right here. It's slated right now to make around or over $400 million, becoming easily the biggest fight in the history of boxing. Man, Alex, first of all, I want to bring you in for this conversation. What was your reaction upon hearing that this fight, again, 5 years in the making, is finally going to go down out in May?
My first reaction was, wow, May 2nd? 2-3 months away? Because look at all the other big fights with Cortez and all the ones that Mayweather had. They were all scheduled 7 or 8 months in advance. But this one? 3 months. 3 months, Al. And in March 2nd, it will be 2 months. So it's just very quick to see it happen. And also, at the same time, have you seen the ticket prices for this event?
Oh, that's the first thing I did. I looked up the ticket price. I'm saying, oh, man, maybe I can get myself a ticket to
this
fight.
Go ahead and tell everybody listening how much the minimum value is for a ticket.
Well, I don't know what the minimum value. What I saw, it was around $8,000,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Did I hit that right on the money?
$8,000 to get tickets.
Yeah, crazy. I'm sitting there, even the nosebleed seats. I'm sitting there like, oh, my gosh, okay, this is clearly not for the pocketbook of you and I, Alex. This is for like the Jay-Z, Bill Gates type of high money rollers to go to this fight. So, that, I mean, and that's why it's predicted and slated to make around $400 million because, I mean, the ticket value alone is just off the charts.
Yeah. And let's also play a scenario real quick.
Yeah.
You said also on this show, Al, many times that when Mayweather was fighting Cortez and when he was fighting with all of his other fights, you said, I'm not going to order it. I'm just going to go watch it at a friend's house.
Right.
With this fight, are you going to order it?
Well, I tell you what, Alex.
There's no doubt I'm ordering it. There's no doubt.
Well, I tell you what. When I got the news that this fight was going to go down, I immediately after you know, exhausting myself for about 15 minutes jumping up and down saying, finally, the next thing I did was grab my cell phone, hit up the homies, and we booked a hotel at the Luxor on the Strip in Las Vegas for April 30th to May 5th. So I will be down there in Las Vegas, not at the fight, of course. I won't be at the fight, but I will be down there. I'll be taking my vacation time around that time to witness the atmosphere of that fight. So we'll be down there. I'll be down there, man.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. So along with that week, so you're for sure going to be, I mean, that's the thing is this kind of fight is going to help a lot of business.
Certainly.
It's going to help with your case, but I think for all the people, the naysayers about if they're going to order the fight, I think everyone's going to order the fight. Everybody's going to plan a party to watch this fight.
Certainly. This is the fight that the sport has been waiting on. Not just Manny and just a casual boxing fan. This is the fight that everyone, again, Dave, this has been 5 years in the making. This is the fight Mayweather and Pacquiao, you know, they've been going back and forth saying, yeah, we want to get the fight done. We don't, I want Manny Pacquiao to agree to these terms when it comes to drug testing. And then 2 years took off. Then Bob Arum came in the situation and said, oh, we don't know about the deal. I don't know if the fight will ever happen. There's been so much back and forth that at a certain point, and this is why I think boxing has lost a lot of fans, Alex, is because they don't give the fans what they want. That's the thing about it. I mean, this fight is certainly long, long overdue. This fight should have happened 5 years ago. And this is the reason why I think boxing has been losing overall because, I tell you what, other than Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, I'm not buying any other fight. I'm not paying to see anybody else in the sport of boxing. And that's why the sport of boxing is losing. But again, since there's been so much hype lasting years and years and years, people are going to say, finally, this is what we've been waiting on. I want to sit down and see what's going to happen.
What's bigger, this or the Super Bowl?
Wow, that is a great question.
I mean, it has that kind of impact on
it. It does have that kind of impact, man. Wow, I would have to say the Super Bowl.
Why?
Just because the Super Bowl, first off, you talk about the NFL, which is the most popular sport in North America. So it already has that popularity value. Second, you know, the Super Bowl is an event where every year it's an annual thing. You know, this is a year, this is something that every single year people look forward to, put on their calendars.
Right, but the question
it's
kind
of like a national holiday.
Yeah, I mean, it is every year, and this is once in a lifetime. But
right.
What I'm asking is, what is the bigger event? Yeah, every year.
I think
that's
the Super Bowl
happening.
Is.
See, I think this is a bigger
because
event.
Because I think more money
Bowl.
Is involved, even though a lot of people are going to pay for the fight, and because pay-per-view numbers are going to drive that revenue up the woozy.
Yeah,
but
Super,
for the Super
Bowl,
Bowl
tickets are not $8,000.
I mean, just look at the halftime show, just for instance. I mean, for an artist to book themselves for a Super Bowl halftime show, I mean, that's like booking their own concert.
You don't think
looking
there's going to be artists here? There's going to be artists here.
Alex, looking at how much people pay, how much, I should say, advertisers pay for just a 20-second commercial for the Super Bowl. I mean, that alone some people pay like upwards up to like $5 to $10 million for 20 seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
20 seconds on a Super Bowl? I mean, I just think it's bigger when you look at the overall spectrum of interest because of the history and all that. Now, don't get me wrong. This fight is going to be huge. Huge. Everyone's going to tune in for this fight. But as far as the overall impact on sporting culture, you got to go with the Super Bowl.
But here's the thing. Yeah, there's advertising because it's on a network. This is a Showtime believe so. It's going to be Showtime, right?
Showtime and HBO are actually shouldering both loads
okay.
because it's going to kind of be split
right.
down
so
the middle.
So it's going to be a pay-per-view event.
Right.
But the thing about it is, do you think for the Super Bowl, people are booking 5 nights to go to Las Vegas, Al?
No.
Are people
I think some people are. I think with the Super Bowl, yeah, you got some people who book, you know, if they find out where the Super Bowl is going to be in years in advance and say, okay, we're going to stay, you know, from this time to this time. I mean, yeah, it's like that with the Super Bowl
but
as well.
But that's the thing. The Super Bowl has an advantage because it's a network broadcast. If this event was broadcasted over a network, there'd be advertisers left and right for this event.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Left and right.
I definitely agree with that. I certainly agree with that.
But the problem with it is, although there's no advertising, I mean, this is one of the best boxing fights probably of all time.
Yeah.
All time.
I just hope that the fight lives up to the bill. Because, and this is another point I want to make. If this fight happened, Alex, 5 years ago, you would have seen two younger and fresher versions of the fighters you see now. Right now, Floyd and Manny are knocking on 40 right now. Again, if this fight would have taken place 5 years ago, I mean, these fighters were in their primes. You know, Manny, you know, wasn't even, I don't even think he was knocked out, maybe like once or twice. But you saw the Juan Miguel Marquez fight where Manny got knocked out and they're saying, okay, oh man, I don't even know if he can, you know, go against Mayweather now. You know what I mean? So it certainly lacked a lot of luster because of the time span and the time allotted that this fight has now reached for it to happen. But at the same time, from the hype perspective, this fight has the most hype. I will have to probably go back to maybe like, you know, the Rumble in the Jungle, you know, maybe like George Foreman and Muhammad Ali. I think it has that much of flair to it, possibly even more now, seeing as though that fight took place in Africa and this one's taking place right in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is going to generate so much revenue for that weekend. Probably not, you know, looking at that weekend, it probably would generate more money than it has dating all the way back until probably like the Mike Tyson era, because Mike Tyson was Mr. Las Vegas. So it's going to be fun to watch, man. We'll later on break down who our thoughts and predictions on that fight. I want to take our second break and come back for a really, really quick weekend winners. Don't touch that dial, folks. We'll be right back in the blink of an eye. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. All right, well, 5 minutes left in the show, and you guys know each and every Monday we love to take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world, but of course we also expand beyond the sporting world and love to go against the grain, so to speak. So, without further ado, let's look at the weekend that was and bring to you our weekend winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever
All right, folks, it is time for Weekend Winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend overall. So I want to start with this kid because, you know, I'm not a big NASCAR guy. Not a big NASCAR guy whatsoever. I barely watch the sport, barely even know anything about the sport, to be honest with you guys. But I did tune in here and there for the Daytona 500. I think the Daytona 500, even if you don't watch the sport, you still, you know, keep a close ear to what's going on with the Daytona 500 because that's like NASCAR Super Bowl, okay? It's such a huge, huge race. And it was very remarkable because every time I tuned in, Jeff Gordon was in the lead. I'm sitting there saying, wow, you know, look at Jeff Gordon. What a swan song this would be if he wins this thing. But as the race went on, you know, he gets into a crash, 87 laps in, and ends up finishing in 33rd place. And look who wins, a 24-year-old Joey Logano. Wow. I mean, if watching the post game of, you know, people interviewing him after he won the race, I mean, Joey Logano, he seems like, you know, a phenom in the game. I mean, listening to the analyst break down Joey Logano. I mean, he's only 24 years old. He's going to be involved with NASCAR for years and years to come, folks. And to get a win on that stage, nobody saw Joey Logano coming out of nowhere and winning this race. They felt as though he was too young, too inexperienced, and then he proves all the doubters wrong. Shout out to Joey Logano, man. That was an impressive race. Alex, got anybody?
Yeah, you got to give some credit to the Detroit Red Wings, man. They won 7-6. 7-6 in a hockey game against the Dallas Stars. What resiliency. You know, it was a 6-4 game. People are, you're like, oh, I'm going to turn off the TV. This one's over. They scored two goals.
Didn't they score like five in the third period?
Yeah, they score within the first minute 30 within overtime to win the game. So, yeah, good resiliency by the Red Wings there. And they're beating the games against tough teams, which means that they're a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs this year, Al.
Yeah, certainly. And I couldn't believe it. That was actually on Friday night when that game happened. And I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that many goals were scored in that game? Unbelievable. So, yeah, definitely want to shout out the Wings. Also, the Oscars. It was a great night, a fun night. But I looked at the ratings here for this morning, and the Oscars ratings for people who tuned in last night are down actually 14% from where they were last year. So, not as many people tuned into the Oscars this year as they did last year. But anyway, I want to shout out Grand Budapest Hotel. Great movie. Got a chance again to check that out on Saturday. It won an Oscar for makeup and hairstyling, production design, original score. Also Birdman. Wow. I mean, I haven't seen that movie. Heard great things about it. It also won big at the Oscars for original screenplay, a few others, and also, of course, the big one, Best Picture. How about that, huh? Shout out to Michael Keaton, man. All right, and also for Best Actor and Best Actress, Eddie Redmayne from The Theory of Everything. It was pretty cool to watch him go up on the Oscar stage and take the podium. He was jumping around like a little school kid. I heard he delivers one fantastic performance in that. And Julianne Moore, man, she's a legend, right? She won the Oscar for Best Actress for her role in Still Alice. Also, just got word here that Trey Wans, he has ran an unofficial 4.32 40-yard dash. Also was able to put up 19 reps of 220 pounds. Impressive stuff there. That's actually Mel Kiper's number one corner in this year's NFL draft. Well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic start to your week. And be easy, people.